Father's Day is just around the corner, and you probably need a gift for your hairy dad. Make your dad proud this year and get him and yourself the Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right. The Lawnmower 4.0. Get 20% off and free shipping using the promo code HAYES. That's H-A-Y-E-S at manscaped.com. Use the promo code HAYES at manscaped.com. Join us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's our TSN hockey analyst, Mike Johnson. What's up, Johnny?
Is it really all that matters? When you check it, when you're hacking around, even though you win, like, are you really that happy with the win?
No,
when you chop it up for half the round, then you fill it up in garbage time. That's like piling up points in the last 4 minutes of a basketball game. That's a 30-point blowout.
That's Johnny, exactly what it
Johnny,
was.
Johnny, you would have thought this guy won the club C's when the most irrelevant, the most irrelevant 7 holes of his life, he turns into Tom Watson, and he's dialed.
And I was strutting around too, wasn't I? I had the tight pants on this morning.
Oh, look gorgeous! And he was just like a tour pro. I'm like, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it was outrageous.
I could see the immediate peacocking going on as soon as you make that first good shot on 12. You're like, okay, I'm back, baby.
That's right.
Here he comes.
That was it,
like,
Johnny.
We're no longer keeping score. The match is actually
literally
open,
no
yeah,
one
sure,
cared
have
anymore.
At it.
No one was
not
paying
one
attention,
time,
no one
Johnny.
Cared.
Here's the thing: not one time does he ever say like, "Man, you like." One time he said to me like, "I carried us like the whole match," and one time he goes, "Man, you're putting good today." Not even anything like way to go, dog, like keep us going here. One time he goes, you're putting good today. I'm like, this guy has got a screw loose right now.
I didn't want to jinx you. The conditions were throwing me off. Bad conditions.
Yeah. You know what, Hayes? I think you and I are about the same level of golfer, somewhere around each other. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, when it gets really windy, I get the same way where I think, oh, I'm gonna cut this one back in the wind, or I'm gonna draw this one high. I'm like, who am I kidding? I can't do any of those things, but I feel like I want to or have to, and I never can pull it off.
No, it's
so I can empathize.
I multiple times I'm like, I'm just gonna try to keep this one low. Like, what the hell do I think of? I got a wedge in my hand. Like, I can do that. Anyway, Johnny, the Habs are. I feel like I have a different viewpoint of some people, which might surprise people in Montreal who think I hate the Habs. I loved their first period last night.
I agree.
I thought they were outstanding in the first.
They looked really good. If they get a goal early on.
That's the problem, though, Noodles, is like they get to the first intermission, they're down 1-0, and then they run into penalty troubles, and then the game was over. And when Caulfield scored, for them to give up a third that quickly, it was over. Like, see you later, pack your bags. The third was irrelevant. But if I'm Ducharme today, Johnny, I'm watching the first. I thought they were physical. I thought they were agitating. I thought they were forechecking. I thought they were in it, and I know it's 20 minutes of a 60-minute game, but glass half full, if I'm Montreal, I'm looking at the first period and saying, if we can do that more often and score first, easier said than done, you might be able to stay in some of these games.
Yeah, so that's an if, then you might be able to stay in the game. I mean, that's hardly a ringing endorsement after game one, and I'll give you 12 minutes of the first period. I thought they were clearly the better team to start, the chance a minute into Gallagher, the Josh Anderson wide drive, all that traffic around in front. Scrumming it up around Marc-Andre Fleury, all really good. And we can talk about the goals against and, you know, a misplay on the faceoff and a screen that wasn't boxed out by Gustafsson, who wouldn't be on the ice if it wasn't, unless it was an icing for a defensive zone faceoff. You got Sherrod jumping out of the box and racing back into his own end, thinking he's playing defense. We should just stand there playing left wing. And then Martinez goals doesn't go in. Like, those are things you can clean up. And that's not that hard to see Montreal doing that. My bigger concern would be, if I'm a fan of the Montreal Canadiens, is the middle, whatever, from the 10-minute mark until about 10 minutes left in the game, those 40 minutes, how are we going to create more offense? I can clean up the defensive side of things, although Petrie's injury and Shea Weber's wrist aggravation is not going to help at all. But I think you can clean that up with just, you know, a little bit better attention to detail. But creating offense, like, they didn't create very much in those middle 40 minutes. And that, to me, is going to be a bigger challenge. Everyone thinks about the forecheck and the pace of Vegas, but they're also a very good defensive team. And that's my greater concern. I don't have as easy an answer for the offense as I do for cleaning up the defensive miscues.
Yeah, you make a great point, Johnny. I don't know if we've given Vegas's D enough love or credit. Like,
how do you not? They dominate games.
I know, and I like, obviously, because it was on such display last night. Like, we talk about Shea Theodore, but do we really talk about him? You know what I mean? Like, we
watched them last night. Those two, that one play he made to Martinez was
ridiculous.
Unbelievable.
Ridiculous.
So,
like,
good.
I'm on my couch and I bit. You know, Carey Price is like, I'm like, oh my God, he's got a one timer in the slot, and it was just such a fantastic play. But Pietrangelo, like, he is so good, and just everything he does, and Martinez, and Holden's a big, strong guy. Like, when I look at Vegas, and you're right, I thought those, it was over kind of after the, let's say after the first period, but their D are really skilled, and they get involved, and that's something that, you know, if you want to talk about in-game adjustments, or at least adjustments after a game, I would think, is there anything that the forwards are, you know, I was looking at, there is some missed assignments last night, set plays off of draws, but is there something that the forwards could do to try and maybe limit that D being involved that much?
Well, I mean, I suppose you can try to match up against them more, a little closer in the defensive zone, but
tighter.
And I didn't think they did that bad of a job. I mean, it was two plays off faceoffs, which don't usually go in, and it was one scramble play on the great shot fake by Theodore out of a penalty box, off of, you know, as the penalty is expiring. So, like, you know, it sounds like it's a lot, but it wasn't that much. And then another long cycle play where it ends up on Holden's stick. So I don't know if you're going to put that on the forwards. I think that's going to be a problem for Montreal the whole series, is how do they stop the cycle? I mean, Vegas, I think, is second in the playoffs in offensive zone time per game. And that's why. Like, they get on the forecheck, they sustain it, they make you work, and then they eventually break you down. And whether it's a defenseman breaking down, then the forward covers for the defenseman, which leaves the defenseman that he was supposed to cover open, and on it goes. That's kind of what happened. And I mean, the biggest thing Montreal can do is hope for good health for Jeff Petrie and maybe in Shea Weber, which I'm not sure is going to happen in the next, you know, 24 hours. So I don't think there's a whole bunch they could do. I think they, if anything, they're going to have to try to figure out, again, easier said than done, how to navigate your way through the neutral zone. They did it for the first 7-8 minutes, but they didn't do it after that very much. And if you can't skate with speed and pass the puck up the ice, you're not going to get to play in the offensive zone very much unless they are able to do more of that. Then, you know, you give any team enough time in the offensive zone, they eventually will break you down, and Vegas did that last night.
Johnny, we both played right wing, and you go through different phases where you're skating, not much is happening, you're not skating, some things are happening, you're total garbage. There's all different kind of phases. When I watch Anderson play for the Canadiens, he scored game one against the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I thought, this guy's going to go on a tear. And I don't think he's scored since. Where do you see his game? I know he's a big physical guy, and he did get in there on the forecheck a couple times, but he's got to be a factor for these guys if they're going to have any chance.
Yeah, and probably a tough comparison because Alex Tuck is such a big factor who plays a similar kind of role in a similar kind of style.
Yeah.
The thing about Josh Anderson, when you watch him close, though, is that he is unbelievably fast in a straight line. So he's very good off the rush, but we just talked about, if you don't get it through the neutral zone with speed to him, he rarely scores goals in the offensive zone. You think a big guy like that on the forecheck in front of the net, he might be able to do a little something in the offensive zone off cycle. I mean, I called half their games this year. It just doesn't happen for him. He just doesn't have that kind of offensive game. Not a great feel and vision with the puck. He's a straight line guy.
That's shocking, Johnny, because he should be just, it's my simple recipe was get in there, hit, get the puck behind the net, or get it to my winger who can get it behind the net to the centerman and right to the slot. Like, it's just such an easy recipe.
It's not his game. Like, he can go in there and hit, and he does that, and he will do that. But he just doesn't have a great feel. Like, oh, you were really good at getting open. Even though it was subtle, you weren't skating all over the ice, you're very good at getting open. He's not. Like, that is just not his. Like, if it's right in front of him, he sees it. If it's not right in front of him, it's not necessarily there as much. So that's kind of been the story of his offensive game in his NHL career. He still could be effective, but he just doesn't show a lot unless it's off the rush. And whereas Alex Tuck, I think, is as good a third liner as there is in the league. He's
$925,000.
Well, and he got him for, they got him on as a side deal.
It was a throw-in where Eric Howla was the guy that really were grabbing.
Dumba. Yeah. Like, what are we doing here? It was crazy what they got out of him.
That's a 30 for 30, man, that whole thing.
Yeah, that expansion draft.
I was talking to my wife about it last night because we were sitting there watching, and she doesn't follow us closely, and she's like, how are they this good? And I honestly said to her, they perfected the expansion draft. They perfected the rules that were applied to them. I mean, to be fair, Columbus didn't get these. Minnesota didn't get these. San Jose, Ottawa, they didn't get the same rules. Like, Vegas had different rules than the previous expansion teams.
But
they
absolutely give Kelly McCrimmon Hayes a ton of credit because he scoured the NHL for that whole year and watched every player, and he got the job done.
Did a remarkable job. And you know what stands out more than anything last night? And this has been clear with them really since day one. They are massive as a team. Like, they are massive. Like, look at their defense corps. The smallest defenseman they have, based on pound for pound, is Shea Theodore. He's 6'2", 195. And he's the best defenseman. He's better than Pietrangelo now.
And he looks 6'5 out there.
He looks like a monster. You've got Holden, 6'4", 215. Martinez is 6'1", 210. McNabb, 6'4", 215. Petro, 6'3", 210. Whitecloud, 6'2", 210. Like, these guys are monsters. Tuck is a monster. That Carrier is a monster.
Well, his head is the size of a... He looks like a mascot out there, his head.
He's huge. Ryan Reeves, his size is almost irrelevant because he blends in with the rest of the team. Like, they are huge. And they can play, and they play with a system. And then when anything breaks down, they've got a goalie in net who's more than capable of standing on a set if he has to. But that's what stood out to me last night. I'll bet you a lot of people in this country were thinking the same thing if you were watching for the first time in a while. That Vegas team is massive. They're massive. Well, and Stone's big. They just they lean on you, man. They play heavy.
They do. And you watch them play, and they can play fast, and they can play. They can beat you any kind of way you want. You know, whatever game you choose, you want to go. You want to play fast and skilled. Well, go ahead. They got a lot of that. You want to play heavy and greasy? They got a lot of that. And then again, I'll remember back to when they first. You know, George McPhee was their GM, and George McPhee was not a big guy, but boy, he's a uber tough guy when he played. And I think he knew we're going into Vegas. We got to be entertaining, even if we don't win. We got to be entertaining, which means we got to be physical. We got to be, you know, in your face, and hopefully also good with the puck. And you put all that together, and they're really good. Like Braden McNabb, you know, we watch him play L.A. Without that supporting cast around him, he sometimes would get, he'd get exploited a little bit. But you put him with that team and all those partners, he's like he's a crusher out there, hammering guys. So yeah, it's a tough matchup. And I think wasn't Vegas first in the league? Like, I mean, they were tied with Colorado, essentially
the
best team in the league.
Yeah, they were.
So we probably should be giving them plenty of credit, as they were essentially the best team in the league this year.
Don't we always seem to be getting back to that, Johnny? And I know you dive into the numbers, but we were talking about it the other day. Other than Chicago winning the cups with kind of not really monster lineups, it's a lot of the monster lineups. So the team I played against that had the skill and you couldn't get the puck off them was Detroit, that ultimately beat us in the finals. So Can the small skilled team, or does the skilled team ever come close to beating the big, strong, and fast?
Well, I mean, Tampa won last year. I mean, they're pretty skilled. I don't know if they're small,
but their D-men are monsters too.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Hedman's no slouch, or Sergachev, or Savard, or McDonough, but their forwards are not a big, burly group of guys. But yeah, I mean, I think a universal truth remains in just about every sport. Like, I like speed and skill over big and slow. But if you can give me speed and skill and big, I prefer that over speed and skill and little.
Right.
And so I think that's kind of where it is for Vegas, is that, yeah, they're big, but they're also really good. I mean, they have two of what Team Canada's top four at next year's Olympics playing on defense. I mean, think about that. Between Theodore and Pietrangelo, two of the best four defensemen on Canada's Olympic team next year play for them. I mean, like, it's not quite Prong or Niedermeyer with Anaheim, but it's, you know, that's what two great defensemen can do for a group around them. So it's a tough matchup. A lot of things are going to have to happen right for Montreal to get through this game, this series.
The save that Price made on Mark Stone, that play, but the funny thing is I love the save. Mark Stone trying to get to top speed is I'm tired watching him. It is one of the ugliest sights. And believe me, I love him as a absolutely love him as a player.
We watched
him in Ottawa night in and night out, and he is as competitive and he's an animal out there. But that play in the neutral zone, I'm like, he's going to get caught. Well, no, he found a way to get open, found a way to get the shot off, and then Price makes that save. But I laughed about it because I was tired watching Stone make that play, and he's such a great player. Just talk about that. There's so many skilled players on that Vegas, but it's not that superstar, crazy, top five player in the National Hockey League. But there's a lot of guys that we just don't give a lot of credit to, and Stone's another one.
Yeah. I think you said the pivotal phrase though. He didn't get caught. I mean, think about the overtime goal against Colorado.
Yeah.
You have two defensemen chasing him down and he's chugging and he's huffing and puffing. You're like, is he ever going to get there? But he gets a shot off and there's no stick even touching him. Like he's functionally fast, even though he's awful to look at. I would never tell him, teach a kid skate like this guy, but he gets to where he has to go almost all the time, and he keeps in front of people, which I'm not even sure how, because Noodles, we're right beside him. You're like, this guy skates deep in the ice. He's like, he works to get to where he's going.
Yeah.
But they have such a great blend. That first line, Stone and Pacioretty, are a really nice complement pair of a guy who does everything in Mark Stone, and if they pass their first, and a guy who's just a goal scorer and a burner and can shoot really, really well, and then it allows that. What do they call them? The misfit line. It's hard to remember all the names of all these lines nowadays, which I'm not so sure about. But the second line with William Karlsson, Smith, and Marshall. So it lets them go do their thing and just play and don't have to worry about checking against Nathan MacKinnon. They don't have to worry about taking the other team's first pairs. And all of a sudden, you got William Karlsson leading the team in scoring. And I think Marshall leads the team in goals. Like they are carrying them offensively. And I've said it many times. I think Alex Tuch, if he played in Toronto, people would be falling all over themselves how good this guy is. They'd be calling the next coming of Eric Lindros. He's not. But like he is as fast as anybody in the NHL. I think he might be the best third-line player in the NHL because he never plays in the top six, and he just devours that worst competition he goes up against. They're good. They're deep. They're tough. They got Janmark on there now as a guy who was picked up at the deadline. They do a really good job. Rolling over lines, they have a deep team, and even in net, they're deep. I mean, they got a guy who could be a Vezina winner backing up a guy who's a Vezina finalist. So, I mean, you're not going to find a lot of weaknesses, and that's Montreal's challenge. And the other great disappointment in last night's game for Montreal was that it'd be one thing if Carey Price wasn't brilliant, and you're like, well, maybe Carey gets a bit better, a little cleaner, and he steals a game. He kind of stole, three goals probably last night that should have gone in, and he didn't let them get in. Like, he was not bad in that last night's game, and they still kind of lost comfortably.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is concerning. Ultimately, his effort becomes irrelevant because you lost. But the stop on Stone, the cross ice to Marchessault was an unbelievable save. And the tip at the end of the second period was sneaky.
How about that pump fake from Theodore? That was outrageous.
Unreal, man. Like, unreal.
You watch that. I watched it 7 times going back. I'm convinced he was not passing that puck until he was halfway through his downswing. Like, that was Tiger Woods hearing a bird chirp mid-downswing where he just jacked on the brakes. It's like, oh, something else is happening here. Like, I think he was so – it was such a good fake because he wasn't faking. Like, I think he
was
getting ready to
shoot the
puck. That's
why the play was so brilliant. It was just like a last-second pause, and it's like, no, and it's like, man, that's just as good as it gets. That's just a hell of a play for that
kid. It sold the whole building, man. And credit Martinez for still being ready. Because that it would have been easy for him to say either fall
check,
back,
please, I'm changing,
or go head to the net thinking I'm looking rebound or whatever. And not only did he get it off, he put it in. All right, Johnny, we'll leave it there. Enjoy the game tonight, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
All right, boys, have a good day.
There's Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline.